Here's what the scripture says. When Jesus knew it, and speaking of the context of the circumstances of the crowds of people, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him. No matter where he went, they came. And what did he do? He healed them all. I want that to happen here. Wouldn't that be great? Every person who walked in here with some infirmity can walk out well. Why? Because he's here. He's the one who can do that. Father, I thank you. I ask that your mind become what we hear and what we understand and what we conceive. So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Sooner or later, you're going to need a healing miracle. Everyone will, sooner or later. Regardless of the source, where do you turn when a crisis arrives? What happens? What do? What's your first response? Do you turn inward and become bitter when you get a negative report? Do you get angry at God? Say, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Do you seek someone or something to blame? Do you self-medicate? Try to find some relief in some methodology you can come up with. We need to turn to God's word when we face a crisis and need a miracle. It's imperative that you spend time in the word of God. It's what we need. It's life when we ingest it. And allowing the Spirit of the Lord to illuminate the truth, because that's what brings hope to our hearts. How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And then it says in Hebrews, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the basis of divine health or healing is the word of God. Jesus is the living word of God. If you're shocked by your diagnosis or symptoms and your faith begins to waver, you have to begin reading the word of God. Step number one, not complain to God, not try to self-medicate, not try to wonder what you did wrong that caused this. Nope. The first thing you need to do, begin to read the word of God. The faith God's word provides takes you to the fulfillment of his promises. John said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Wow. And then he said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the living word of God. I cried to the Lord, the psalmist said, and in the middle of my trouble, and he saved us out of all of our distress. He sent his word and healed us. He sent what? His word and healed us. The word of God heals us. And the Holy Spirit illuminates God's truth. And when that happens, you're connecting with the heart of Jesus, who is the living word of God. We don't study God's word to gain intellectual ability. Saul of Tarsus knew the scriptures as well as anybody, and at the same time was ordering that Christians be put to death. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And this man knew God's word. He had to memorize portions of the Torah in order to achieve the status that he had in the Sanhedrin. The Pharisees were religious people, but they missed the appearance of the Messiah when he was there right in front of their eyes. We cannot become religious people. We must believe God's word is true. It says in Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie. God's word is true. I'll say it again. It's true. All of it. All the promises belong to us. God's word must be the foundation of how we do life. Isaiah 28, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You build like a building block kit you had when you were a kid. And you keep building and building and building. And all of it fits so beautifully together because God, by the Spirit, has woven together the Word of God to bring us the body of His truth revealed. Everything we believe must align itself with God's truth. And just because your parents or teachers or the church you've attended had a tradition, listen, tells you something is true, doesn't mean it is the truth. Our thinking sometimes can be flawed. There are those who still think that the world is flat. That doesn't make it so. Right? There are some who think that Armstrong did not put his foot on the moon's surface, that it was staged. That doesn't make what they're thinking reality. We must study God's truth so that we can discern by the direction of the Holy Spirit what is truth. There are those who believe that all miracles ended with the death of the apostles. There are churches that teach this as the truth. The scripture says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the truth. Therefore, our words have to line up with God's word. Then we release the Holy Spirit to do His work. Amen. When God spoke, let there be light, there was light. God speaks, and it comes to pass. He said, I have sworn by my own name, I have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word. Praise God. Even when others in our culture do that, He never does that. So we must dare, you see, sometimes I think we get so jaded because we've had these charismatic politicians tell us things and tell us that for sure, and you can count on it, and my word is gold, and lie right to you, your face. Sometimes I think we kind of transfer that kind of playing with the truth is the way God does business. God is not a man that He should lie. Amen? No. We must dare to believe the word of the Lord. And as we begin to ingest God's truth, it begins dividing and separating the truth from lies. Human thinking that God wants to teach us a lesson through sickness is a lie. God is not the author of illness. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's the heart of my Savior. Satan hates and fears the word of God because it is light, and Satan can only thrive in darkness. That's why we must have a daily regimen of the application of God's word. Every single day we need His truth. It's our spiritual weapon. Read God's word daily. Engage a prayer partner to pray with you at a specific time when you need a miracle, and watch what God will do. Surround yourself with people who will encourage you and build up your faith and not tell you about three generations of people and their family who died from what you have, but tell you that we serve a God who still heals. Amen? Study the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to give you scripture to stand on. I was reading the testimony of an individual the other day who received this miraculous healing from a disease that was neurological and just totally paralyzed this person's ability to walk and to go around. And she said, this is what I did. I typed out a specific scripture, Psalm 118 and 17, and the scripture that says, and I typed it out, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Said, I typed it out, I folded it, and I put it in one of my shoes. And I received my healing literally standing on the Word of God every single day. I literally did that until one night in bed, incapable of walking, the Holy Spirit brought my attention in the Word to the man who was at the Pool of Bethesda and had not been able to move all these many years and was complaining to the Lord when he asked him, "What do you need?" that no one's helping me. And Jesus looked at him and says, "Just take up your bed and walk. Do you want to be well? Do you want to get well?" And I was reading that, and as I put my Bible down and thought about that passage, the Holy Spirit whispered to me, "Do you want to be well?" And startled me, and I thought, because I want to, but I'm pretty well incapacitated. "Do you want to be well?" I said, "Yes, I do." "Then throw your legs over the side of the bed and get up and walk." And I did. And I've been walking ever since. And no doctor has been able to figure out how I was recovered from that neurological disease. Listen, literally stood on the Word of God every day. Worship the Lord. That's the next thing you need to do. You read His Word, you know His Word, you worship. Anointed worship music creates the atmosphere for miracles to take place. There are anointed musicians who have the gift of ushering us into the presence of the Lord. Pastor Michael has that gifting. He can help us get into the presence of the Lord. Everything created originated with God. Music is no exception. And we've let the world steal it all. It belongs to us. It belonged quickly to the people of the Lord. God anointed individuals way back in the book of Exodus, Genesis and Exodus, and tells us their names and reminds us that He gave them the skills to create instruments of music to play to bring worship to His name. It started with God. It has always been before even the world was created. And then God gave it to the human race to use to honor and bless the name of the Lord. It releases hope in our hearts. It ushers God's presence in and enables us to walk through difficult times in our lives. We have come to know that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ lives in our hearts, and that light is still shining. And when we step into the presence of the Holy Spirit through worship, all of a sudden, everything that appears to be negative begins to turn positive. Anointed worship delivers us from the spirit of fear. Anointed worship is a powerful key to receiving the breakthrough that God has planned for us. It breaks the power of the devil. Look at what happened to Saul when he was harassed by the devil, and David began to make melody with anointed worship, and the enemy left King Saul. And then Elisha said, "Now bring me someone who can play the harp." And while the harp was being played, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha. And the next verse goes on to say, "And he said, this is what the Lord says." Because he knew, if I can get someone in here who knows how to touch heaven through anointed music, I will get a word from the Lord for the people of God. And that anointed atmosphere gave him an ability to prophesy over the people. God's word tells us to live in the light as He is in the light. And the negative thoughts that have accumulated in our thinking get dislodged when we begin to worship our great God in spirit and in truth. It's nearly impossible for the enemy to bombard our thinking with accusations and fill our soul with darkness when we are worshiping in an anointed atmosphere where the presence of God is at work. Praise is a weapon. We need to use it. Discouragement flees when we lift our voices and we worship Almighty God. It benefits every part of our being when we worship the Lord. I have never felt better physically in my life than when I have been under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and I've been flowing with the Holy Spirit and worshiping from my heart in the Spirit. That's why the psalmist said, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with sadness. Well, some of you came that way. Wait. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing. No. I need to own this, that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Thank God. Wow, what a faithful God we serve. Thank you, Lord. That's a psalm of praise because of the Lord's faithfulness. Some have been estranged from their earthly fathers because your dad may have abandoned your family. And that leaves a soul wound. That leaves damage deep inside, because with abandonment comes a sense of rejection. And that needs to be healed. Healing of a soul wound is vitally important to your overall well-being, so that you have a sense of who you are and where you belong and to whom you belong. And in the pursuit of the Lord through your worship, ask the Holy Spirit to escort you into the throne room of your Heavenly Father, to take you from the outer court to the inner court into the Holy of Holies. And would you please escort me to the throne of my Heavenly Father? And he will bring you to your Heavenly Father, who will receive you and wrap his arms around you and express to you his perfect love that is unchangeable, that is consistent, and that is secure, that no matter what you have faced or what you have lost in the security of your life, that soul wound gets well and healed and whole. Father's love for you is unconditional, and nothing you've ever done will ever cause him to love you more or love you less. He loves you. He loves you because he's pure love. And each of us has been constructed with the need of love from our Heavenly Father. Only the Holy Spirit can open up the door for us to access the love of our Heavenly Father. Anointed worship that leads us to that kind of intimacy with the Lord becomes the gate of our encounter with the Father. Praising and worshiping the Father gives him the opportunity to minister to the deepest wounds in our lives, whether they're emotional, intellectual, or even physical. So watch this. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Here we go again with another huge crowd chasing Jesus, right? And behold, almost appearing out of nowhere, suddenly a leper came and worshiped him. Broke protocol, broke Jewish law. He was never to mingle with a crowd, never to be where people were around without warning them to leave. He was to be isolated from the rest of the culture as well as from his own family. But somebody had some faith and said, I know this is the one. I've got to get to him. A leper came. And what did he do? He worshiped him. The key to healing, the key to miracles, he worshiped Jesus. And he said, Lord. And he didn't presume, and he didn't demand. He just said, Lord, if you are willing. You see, it was incurable. He had terminal disease. He not only was separated and isolated and couldn't be anywhere in social realms at all, circles, now he's going to die from this disease. It's going to eat him piece by piece. If you are willing, after having worshiped him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus, to show the grace and mercy of the Father in a world that had to live by the law of the Lord, put out his hand and touched him. you probably could have heard a collective when he did that. He said, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. This man had boldness to go looking for Jesus. He said, no matter what the doctors have told me and what the priests of the land have warned me about, no matter what everybody has said to me, I've got faith to believe if I can get to him, there's an option here for healing. And the second thing he did is he worshiped the Lord. He worshiped him. And then he just simply said, if you're willing, I know what you can do. He expressed that to him. The leper who approached Jesus in Matthew 8 chose first the sacrifice of praise. Often we come to God with complaints. That's the first thing we tell God. We're upset. We're not liking this. And why is this happening? And why did that happen? Now, he came first with a sacrifice of praise. He presented worship in the middle of a terminal illness that had no cure known to man. He was looking beyond himself. He took a step of faith. He placed his trust in God alone. And look at what Jesus does. He breaks every other protocol, and he puts his hand on the leper, which immediately would have made him unclean. He would have had to go live in isolation for 6 or 7 days and be examined by the priest. But he didn't forget that. I'm God. I love people. I have compassion for people. When we worship, it says to God, you're worth my time. When we worship, it says to him, you're worth my money. You're worth my faith, my hope, my love, my trust. When we worship, that's what we're saying to the Lord. And the Father said, we're worth it. So he sent his son to die on a cross for our sins. He took 39 stripes on his back for our healing. He is worthy of our praise and worthy of our worship. Let heaven proclaim he is worthy. Let hell proclaim he is worthy. Let every tongue proclaim he is worthy. Let all creation shout he is worthy. He's worthy of our praise and our worship. And I can't wait to hear all of creation do that. Because Jesus promised when that happened, when he returns, the whole animal kingdom is going to find their voice and give praise to God. When we're under attack, when it looks like everything is lost, we must decide within ourselves to declare, he is worthy. Just like that leper did. You're worthy of my worship. Even in my mess. Healing is for today. It's the will of God to touch you with his miracle power. That's his will. You heard Jesus. I will. I am willing. So let me encourage you to receive communion. This is a good way to start your worship of the Lord. Every single day, either by yourself or with somebody else, build fellowship intimately with the Holy Spirit. Let him speak to you. Let him reveal what God's will is in your life. Become connected with trusted friends in the body of Christ through our connect groups. Gifts of healings reside in the body of Christ and will be released when we gather to celebrate God's word and worship together. Not every miracle in the New Testament happened in a church building somewhere, by far. They happened in homes when people gathered and they studied the apostles' teaching and then they prayed and worshiped and asked God as they broke bread and drank of the cup to bring his miracle power to bear. And miracles were breaking out everywhere in town. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. And it's not just faith that we naturally have from reading God's word. It's supernatural. It goes beyond our own capability. It's invested in us by the Spirit of the Lord, it says. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And so we have to understand, when we gather in our small group and we worship and we study what God's word says, and when we pray for each other, we shouldn't just pray words from memory. We should pray words inspired by the Holy Spirit, because miracles should start breaking out, and answers to prayer from one group to the next group to the next. There should be so many testimonies, we can't keep track of them all. Agree with God's word from Isaiah 53. Do that when you're praying for people in your group. Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? Huh? We could have never imagined it. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are what? Healed. We are believers, not doubters. Whether we're gathering in a home, in a coffee shop, at the church, in a fellowship purpose. Listen, wherever we gather to study the word and to worship and to encourage one another, we come away from there believers, not doubters. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing from God's word. So listen to this. Listen to this. Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. My friend John Ashcroft was teaching at General Council, and he got on this passage, crowns us with love and tender mercies, and he stopped, and he had everybody sing the old hymn, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne, and we're all singing and worshiping, and he said, I want you to stop for a minute. Well, what's John going to do here? And here's what he said. He said, do you understand what we're reading from this psalm? That the only one worthy and deserving of the crown, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, King of kings and Lord of lords, has chosen to come to us. Crown us with his kindness and his mercy. Man, that's humbling. Because he knows better than I, we don't deserve that. That's how much he loves us. Fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. That's the God I've come to know. Amen. So lift your hands, saints. Express your faith. We have a risen, overcoming Jesus. We sang about him. Out of that grave he came, victorious over death, my redeemer, my healer, the God who heals me. I thank you, Lord. You are wholly enthroned in the praises of your people, the psalmist wrote. Holy, you are holy, enthroned in the praises of your people. Would you praise the Lord? Would you praise the Lord? Would you praise the Lord?